Welcome to Dyslexia Uniquely Gifted. Thank you for joining Dyslexia Uniquely Gifted, where biblical truths are shared. My goal is to uplift and challenge you today to find a place for dyslexia in your life and let Christ take center stage of your life. Oh, one more thing. I want you to know you are the most courageous person I know, even though we have never met. Our journey informs me that you are indeed courageous. You're gifted, you're smart, funny, and kind. So please pause for a moment, take a deep breath, and be blessed. Today we're going to be taking a look at the book Hosea. It's 14 chapters, and many of the chapters I'm reading are not that long. I think the longest one is like 23 verses, but the rest of them are like 10 to 15. Now, the principle that I'm pulling out of Hosea is this: God is forever faithful and merciful. Now, who is Hosea? He was a prophet, and his ministry spanned 25 years. It's really a book of poetry, and he's doing some preaching as well. Now, Hosea lived in the northern kingdom. After the tribes had split, he was a part of those 10 tribes. Now, his ministry was to those 10 tribes. Now, who was king during this time? Well, the Bible said that Jeroboam did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, what does this mean? This phrase always refers back to God, our creator, and that the person that he is referencing is someone that has broken covenant with him. God takes issue with people breaking covenant, but he really takes issue with that person leading other people to break covenant. And that's what Jeroboam did. He caused other people. He made it easy. He encouraged other people to worship idol gods. What nation is the dominant power during this time? It was the Assyrian. And you can read that in 2 Kings chapters 14 through 17. Now, Hosea is broken up in three sections. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, they're introductory chapters, but yet what they do is they set the stage here. We find in chapter 1, let me turn to that right quick. We find in chapter 1 the Lord telling Hosea to go marry Gomer. We also find in chapter 1 three children being born to Hosea and Gomer. We also find in chapter 1 God's plan to restore Israel. In verse 2 of chapter 1, the Lord makes it very clear why he has told Hosea to marry Gomer. Let's read that. It says, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Why? For the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." Now, one of the things about Hosea that I really liked is that it is his faithfulness. So he's a type of Christ here. So when we read about Hosea, we find that he was faithful, he was trustworthy, and he followed God's instructions without hesitation. And get this, without it making sense. Now just pause for a minute. If God was to ask you to do something that didn't make sense, what would you do? Out of all of this, the Lord is still after one thing. And that is to restore. That's his goal. Restoration. To restore the image of God back in us. Because when we go a-whoring, when we go after other gods, we're no longer bearing the image of God in us. Think about that. Because if you are worshiping another god, how can you have the image of God when the image of God really is talking about his character? If we're bearing the character of God in us, meaning we look like him, we resemble him, you can't do that and you're going after other gods. And that may be difficult for some people to accept, because we like to say, oh, I have the image of God. I was made in the image of God. Yes, we were. But we can mar that image as well by the choices we make. Oh, one more thing. Like Hosea, and this is a question, like Hosea, are we willing to allow God to use our life to prove a point? Because that's exactly what he did with Hosea. He used Hosea's life, his marriage to Gomer, to prove a point. Now, what we do learn here is that the Lord, yes, he gives us the choices. He chose us. We said yes. And then we put on display our unfaithfulness to him. Yet, once again, God's ultimate plan is to restore us, his bride, into a covenant relationship with him. He's still after that. Isn't that amazing? He is still after that. Now, you have to ask yourself, why? Because God is a God of love. He's a God of mercy, and he is faithful. Now, if you would go with me to Isaiah 54, 5, Isaiah brings that subject up. He says, "For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called." Now, keep in mind, sin is sin, and it must be dealt with. This is why we have Jesus going to the cross. Now, God promised to remove the very thing. Okay, remember, when they chose to go a-whoring, God removed the very thing he had given the nation of Israel. And what was that? His presence. When they made a decision to follow after other gods, when they made a decision that they no longer wanted him to be king to rule over them, by the time you get to Hosea, God is removing his presence. And that's a very scary thing. Yet, God is still trying to restore. And he's trying to honor and respect our choices at the same time. And only a God can do that. Now, in chapters 4 through 10, the Lord is saying to the nation church, and he's saying to us as well, I want you to get to know me, not just with your head, but with your heart. And God makes sure that we always know where he stands. In these chapters, in these 6 chapters, he's talking to the nation as a whole. He's talking to the leaders of the church, and he's calling for repentance. And he's letting them know what will happen if they don't. I would just simply withhold my blessings, and you can go ahead and do your own thing. You can go ahead and take care of yourself. You don't want me as your God. You don't want me as your king. I respect that, and you go take care of yourself. He says, I will remove my blessings. Now, in chapters 12 and 13, here Hosea gives historical information about the nation, about how they have just gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. How they have made mistakes, how they have, you know, really just shown how much they didn't appreciate him. Hosea also lets us know in these 2 chapters that the nation never really completely turned back to God. Not completely, not that total consecration, that total surrender that the Lord is after in each of us. Now, going back to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a beautiful chapter, and you should read it. It's very short. But this is considered God's love letter to us. Here he reveals his heart. Here he shows us how he feels, how he has been hurt by the decisions that we have made. Come on, think about it. We're talking about the Father who gave us his only Son. And when he gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. We read it in the Psalms 23, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He said, you want for nothing. The mere fact that I gave you my Son, you have everything. I've given you everything. I've given you my best. You lack nothing. You want for nothing. And in chapter 11, God gives us hope for the future, for those who return to him, for those who repent, because he longs to heal us. He longs to wrap his arms around us. And the wonderful thing about him is he's a God of his word. He's a God of his word. I'm going to say it one more time. He's a God of his word. If he said that he will heal, redeem, and restore, that is exactly what he would do when we make a decision to return to him. And the thing about it is, we can't even return to him in our own strength. He gives us that to come back to him. He gives us his strength to come back to him And then he redeems us and he restores us. Isn't that amazing? That's a God of love. In chapter 14, the last chapter, in verse 4, it says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth her root as Lebanon. In verse 9, who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressor shall fall. Okay, as adults with dyslexia, what can we learn from this story? This beautiful story. It's a sad story. It's a very compelling story. It's a real story. I mean, Hosea is power-packed. I mean, I really just touched the surface. But God goes to such lengths to meet us where we are, to redeem us, to restore us, to love us. He goes to such lengths. Yes, we have dyslexia. However, that's not the totality of who we are. There's other things going on in our life. Lots of stuff. But somehow dyslexia seems to kind of intertwine itself in all of us. Because it has a lot to do with how we respond to life. But at all times, no matter what we're going through, no matter if we're having a bad dyslexic day, no matter if we're having a good dyslexic day, principle still holds true. That God is faithful and he is merciful. But we cannot afford to take that for granted. We cannot. Because the Bible also says he's going to have to cut this thing short in his righteousness. Why? Because he made a promise in John 14. I've got to come back for my people. I've got to end this thing. And his promise is sure. In Numbers 23, he says, I'm not a man that I should lie. So he's got to come back. He's got to bring this thing to an end. Because we seem to think this thing is just going to go on and on and on. He cannot afford that. He cannot. And as adults with dyslexia, he has given us gifts and talents. And I'm saying now, use those gifts and talents to get the word out. Jesus is coming back. Use your gifts and talents to let them know how faithful and good God has been to you. Not in spite of dyslexia, but because of it. Get the word out. God didn't make a mistake with our life. He allowed us to have dyslexia, and he will use it for his glory if we let him. He's waiting. He's excited to show people, yeah, she or he has dyslexia, but look at what I've done. That's not a deterrent for me. It's not an obstacle. It's not a boulder in the road. I can do great things if you just let me. And this is what Gomer is saying to Israel. Return to me. I am faithful. I'm merciful. Repent. Confess. I will forgive you. I'm a merciful God. I must hold you accountable for what you've done. But even in that, I will show my mercy. And this is what Hosea is all about. Thank you for listening to another episode from Dyslexia Uniquely Gifted. If you know an adult with dyslexia, please share these short devotionals with them. For more devotionals, please visit my website at www.wrpublication.com, where you can read or listen to archive shows. Thank you again for joining Dyslexia Uniquely Gifted. And be blessed.